Good evening. Good evening, people. I'm thankful for the invitation of being back here to share God's word with you this evening. And I just trust that the Lord will do what he has for us today. We serve a good God. We serve a faithful God. I just pray as I continue. Lord, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for your word in John chapter 1, verse 14, that says, "And the word became flesh and dwelled amongst us full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory as the only Son of God." Lord, thank you because when you manifested in human form, the Bible says you are full of grace and truth. You represented truth. You personified truth. In your nature, Lord, is truth, not deception, not lies. And we thank you that we serve a true God. We thank you that we have promises that are true in Christ Jesus. I want to thank you for each person here tonight, Lord, that your word has the ability, Lord, to meet each one of us at our point of need. I pray, Holy Spirit, that your word will be alive tonight. Thank you for, oh God, the written word, but thank you for the revealed word. Jesus, you said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And we want to say, Lord, speak to us tonight. Speak into our situations and circumstances in Jesus' name. I even want to agree right now with heaven concerning any man or woman, even Mannheim tonight. Where heaven wants to intervene, Lord, we welcome your intervention. Because you're a God that has the power to transform and change situations. You are a supernatural God. I ask, oh God, that, oh God, your supernatural nature will invade our lives this evening in Jesus' name. We come into your presence, oh God, as your sons and daughters, to our Father in heaven who loves us. We say, Father, manifest your love over us tonight. Thank you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Maybe a little bit of warning, but it's a good warning. Sometimes when I speak, the Lord gives me prophetic prayers. So as I'm speaking, sometimes I find myself praying prophetically. And what I mean by that is it's something I have not prepared. It comes through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I know at such times God wants to intervene in somebody's life. While we were worshiping tonight, I saw a picture. It's the first time I'm seeing it. I saw a shepherd and I saw a lion. A shepherd with a staff walking through the hall. If some of you have watched Narnia, is it Aslan? The way he walks, that was what I saw. And what I saw happening was, as the shepherd was walking, people were following him. And as the lion moved, the lion was roaring. And I said, Lord, what does this picture represent? And I felt the Lord say that the lion is roaring. And there are situations that are responding to his roar. You see, Jesus is both a lamb and a lion. He is gentle and loving, and he is a warrior. So I believe the Lord is manifesting in certain situations tonight as a lamb, as a shepherd, and also as a lion. I do not know what battle some of you are facing tonight. But Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah, is roaring on your behalf in Jesus' name. And I want to speak to such things that might be troubling anyone tonight. You might have come to a place in your life where you feel hopeless. There is no joy to live life again. The Lord is speaking life to you in Jesus' name.
Whoever is under the spirit of depression or hopelessness tonight, in Jesus' name, I speak to you the life of God. I pray that the life of God will break into your situation and cause you to arise and live life with joy. Life is exciting. Life is exciting. In the physical, you look normal, but in the spirit, there is an oppression. And it is my prayer tonight as we trust the Lord that He will intervene in Jesus' name. And I believe God is calling some of us tonight to be His followers. We love Him, we serve Him, but He wants us to follow Him with all our hearts and all our mind. The rod of the shepherd, some of the rods are like this. It's both to pull the sheep when the sheep is going astray, back to order. And it's also used for defense. When animals are about to attack the sheep, the shepherd used the rod to wade or to push whatever animal is trying to attack the sheep. This evening, I will be speaking with us on God's promises are trustworthy and true. The Bible is a book of promises from God to us. The Bible. This is my Bible. And I believe you have your own Bible. It reveals the good plans that God has for our lives. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. It says that the plans He has for us are plans of good and not of evil, to give us a future and a hope. God's plan for your life, God's plan for your family, God's plan for your job situation. If you are a student, whatever is your background, whatever you do, God's plan for you are good. It's not for evil. Another translation says, God's plan is to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a future and a hope. That is a reality. It's a promise of God to you that He is once again emphasizing. Some of the things that the Lord will be speaking to us tonight will be confirming us. It will be confirming truths we know. For some, I pray there will be new revelation. But God is an intentional God. He is a strategic God. He plans. He does not do things haphazardly. I trained as an architect back in Nigeria, and we are trained to think strategically, to plan. We don't just design buildings by chance. We have to sit down and consider certain things that will make the building functional and durable. Now, God is intentional. When you think about your life, you are not a mistake. You came by reason of destiny and purpose to fulfill an assignment in God. Irrespective of your educational background, race, financial,
hi, okay. God's promises works irrespective of your educational background, your race, your gender. Why? Because the Bible is a historical record of the absolute reliability of God's promises. God's promises through His word are trustworthy and they are true. You can depend on the word of God. You can depend on God. You can depend on His promises. Why? Because
That is the nature of his word and promises. In Psalms 119, verse 140, it says, "Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them." In Psalms 145, verse 13, it says, "The Lord is trustworthy in all his promises and faithful in all he does." He is trustworthy. You can depend on him. You can trust in him to follow through on his promises. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, it says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to the glory of God." In Christ Jesus, the promises God makes to us are yes in Christ Jesus. A promise is defined as a declaration that one will do or refrain from doing something specified. So when I make a promise, for example, to my wife, when she goes shopping to Lidl, I say, "Love, before you come back, I am going to help mop the floor." Well, I made a promise, and I'm supposed to keep the promise. I told her I was going to do something. Yeah? And specifically, I said, "I'm going to mop the floor." But I made a promise to her. Promises are made through spoken words and through writing. For us as his children, the Lord reveals his promises to us through his word, the Bible. And through his voice. His voice could be prophecies. His voice could be dreams we have. His voice could be revelations that the Holy Spirit gives to us. In Joshua chapter 21, verse 43 and 44, I would read, it says, "Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land which he swore to give to their fathers. And having taken possession of it, they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he has sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands. Not one of all the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed." It says, all came to pass. Wow. All came to pass. Not even one. Why? Because he made a promise. He made a declaration. He says, "I will do this to your seeds that are to come." And here it gives us a record that none of the promises that the Lord gave his children disappointed them. They all came to pass. You know, Jesus made a very important statement that should be the vision statement of every believer. I live my life based on that. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus answered when he was being tempted by Satan, when he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible says, and the tempter came to tempt Jesus. And he said, "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread." And Jesus answered Satan and said, "It is written, people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." In other words, bread is important. Don't throw away the bread. But there's something that has more sustainability power. There's something that is more important than bread, the word of God. The word that comes from his mouth. He says, you should live on bread, but much more live from the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I do not know what promise God has given you. I do not know what prophecies that you've received. God is able to bring them to pass. There are some of us, there are even promises that we've kept aside. We said, this one, it doesn't seem like it's going to come to pass. Is it your destiny? There is a promise for your destiny. Is it your health? There is a promise for your health. Is it relationship? There is a promise for relationship. Is it job situation? God has promises for every single aspect of life. And it is our responsibility to discover these promises, hold him to these promises, and see them come to pass. The word God speaks to us is dependable and produces results. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11 says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed to the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I have sent it. Wow. Isaiah is speaking about the word that comes from the mouth of God. His promises. He says it accomplishes everything. To accomplish means it starts something and it brings it to a finish. Thank you. I don't know what the Lord has started in your life. He has the power to bring it to finish. I don't know what you've even started based on God giving you a promise. That very thing can come to a finish. Sometimes I pray for myself. I pray against the spirit of miscarriage or abortion. The Bible in the book of Proverbs says that the expectations of the righteous will not be cut short. Because sometimes our expectations are cut short. Sometimes our expectations are in the process of maturity to produce. And something comes to cut it short. You might be here this evening, you fell under disappointment. There are things that you wanted to happen, it did not happen. You've come under that disappointment. I pray in Jesus' name that the Lord will break every disappointment over your life. In Jesus' name. Where your heart has been scarred, where your spirit is discouraged because things have not come to pass, may the Lord bring healing in Jesus' name. I'm sure some of you identify with what I'm talking about. I've been there before, where I tried so many times, I failed. I even came under a mentality of being afraid to try things. Why? Because things have been failing. But thank God, he set me free from this lie, from this mentality, and I see things happen. I see him bring to pass his promises. As a community, as a church, there are promises that God has given you concerning Mannheim, concerning Germany, even the nations. Don't give up. Hold on to these promises. God is faithful. I repeat this, God is faithful. God is faithful. I'm praying that this truth will take a hold of your spirit. It becomes a reality. It's not just a word. It becomes real. It becomes substance. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Yes, we hope, but in our hoping, faith is a substance. We can't see it, but we believe it is real. We can't touch it, but we believe it is real. What are those things that you are expecting and hoping for? It can be substance that becomes a reality. We know the story of Joseph. Joseph had a dream at the age of 17. He went through a lot. Sold into slavery, falsely accused, all in the process of becoming the dream he saw. Yes, there will be battles. Yes, there will be days when you wake up. It feels like, will I be able to go through this day? Yes, you will be able to go through the day. Why? We have the truth. Let the word of God be your best friend. I am telling you out of personal experience. We also have our personal experience with the Lord. I know that. Let the word of God be your friend daily. The word in the person of Jesus. The word in the person of the Holy Spirit. The word in the person of the truth. Why? Because God is dependable. Joseph became the dream he saw 17 years earlier. He remained faithful in serving God. Simon is another man. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, it says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simon. He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was with him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the customs of the law required, Simon took him in his arms, praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant, for my eyes have seen your salvation.'" Wow. That was a fulfillment of a promise the Lord gave to Simon. Simon held the baby Jesus. He said, "Now my eyes have seen the salvation of my people." It was no longer a promise. It was now a reality. What are those things that you want to become a reality? Don't give up. Maybe you've thrown in the towel. You know, when they are boxing, when someone, it's a phrase, they say, "He's thrown in the towel, he's given up. I can't continue any longer. My opponent is too strong for me. Physically, mentally, with strategy, he's better than I am." Pick that towel up in Jesus' name and run the race that is set before you. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "And they being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit many days from now." This is Jesus speaking. "And he said unto them, 'It is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put forth in his power, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth.'" There was a promise, and there was a day of fulfillment. Jesus promised them for the Holy Spirit. And he, in verse 8, began to explain to them the reason why, when they receive the Holy Spirit, the reason why they will receive the Holy Spirit, that they will receive power. In Acts chapter 2, there was the fulfillment. And it tells us that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were all baptized in the Holy Spirit. And in verse 16, after all the people saw what was happening, they came to Peter. Peter now said, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come in the pass. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." There was a promise, and there was a day of fulfillment. And you know, this promise is also for you and for me, the promise of the person of the Holy Spirit. We need him in our life. Because in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said that this promise is for you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many that the Lord shall call to himself, the promise of the Holy Spirit. For us to be effective in our daily walk with God, we need the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself was empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's a promise. As I prayed for this evening, this was one emphasis the Lord had. The Holy Spirit. You might be here, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. There are leaders in the church. In your self group, you can believe the Lord for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because he is the one that forms Christ in us. He forms the very character and nature of Christ in us. He is the one that enables us to manifest the gifts of the Spirit. When I talk about the gifts, I'm talking about you laying hands on people who are sick and them being healed. It's the gift of healing. You being in a conversation with a friend and the Holy Spirit begins to give you thoughts about what they are thinking. It's not magic, it's the gift of discernment. These are all gifts that the Holy Spirit wants us to walk in. The gift of prophecy. That you'll be able to see things ahead. In your personal life and as it relates to you being an ambassador of God wherever you are. In Acts chapter 10 verse 38, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The difference was the Holy Spirit was in his life. He walked daily with the Holy Spirit. Isaac, in Genesis 26, I just share some examples of some practical examples in the Bible. Isaac. In Genesis 26, the Bible says there was famine. There was famine in the land. And apart from the famine that was in the days of his father Abraham, it says, then the Lord appeared to him and said to him, God spoke to him, do not go down to Egypt. I will bless you. He gave him certain promises. And in verse 12, he experienced part of those promises that God gave him. It says, Isaac sowed in that land, a land that was dry, a land where there was no food. And it says, he reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. It says, the man prospered and continued to prosper until he became very prosperous. Even the Philistines envied him. The difference was, people were running away from the land. Isaac had a relationship with God. He could hear the voice of God. It says God appeared to him. You know, I would love that. I'm just sitting in my living room, just watching maybe the Euro Cup, and the Lord appears to me through his voice. Such a precious gift. And I want to say each one of us can hear the voice of God. We hear the voice of God, but God wants to encourage us to keep practicing hearing his voice. Do not be afraid of failing when God tells you do something. It says, and Isaac stayed in Gerar. He obeyed God. What would have happened if he had left? like other people were living, he would have missed the timing of God for his life. Concerning your job situations, concerning your education, whatever it is, there is a word that God can give to you. I remember some time back, I was processing a visa for Germany. I'll use that example. And it was tough. There were laws, European law was in place. So before you come to work in Germany, we have to look into the European Union first. Then Germany, before you can come. I said, Lord, I know you've called me to the nations. I know you said I should go to the nations and preach this gospel. I was applying actually to come and work with youth with a mission. And there was this morning I just came back from church. I checked my email. It was a very discouraging news. The email told me, Eric, it is impossible. There was an obstacle. It's impossible for you to get a visa. I remember very clearly. I might have shared this before, I don't know. But that's what came to my spirit. I remember staying in my room. And then I said, Lord, what are you saying? Yes, I got an email. This is what it's saying. But Lord, what are you saying? And Job chapter 42, verse 1 and 2 came to my spirit. And then I opened my Bible to read. And it says, and Job answered the Lord and said, I know you can do all things. No plans or thoughts of yours can be thwarted or frustrated. Wow. The discouragement left immediately. I was all, you know, and then all of a sudden, a word that was alive came to my spirit. I said, Lord, thank you. Truth came in. Yes, there was a fact. Yes, there are laws. But I said, Lord, thank you because your law supersedes earthly laws. Your law is supernatural. You are sovereign. You know how to work in the hearts of people. Lord, move on my sake. To cut the long story short, I'm here in Germany. In the will and in the plans of God, I had to go back to his word. God has integrity and he's dependable and has the power to do what he promises. In Hebrews 10 verse 23, it says, let us hold fast, you know, hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. God is faithful. There might be things right now shaking you. The nations are experiencing shaking. The global economic crisis. People have lost their jobs. There is a shaking. Bible says, hold fast to the confession of your faith without wavering. To waver. You know, the wave. A wave. Hold fast to the confession of your hope. What are you confessing? That's one of the keys for us to keep experiencing the promises of God. That we keep confessing what we are hoping for. Even when the situation has not changed. Even when you walk in the street, you do not have a job. You keep saying, Lord, based on your promise, I know you are going to open a door for me. You do not speak impossibilities, you speak possibilities based on his promise. You do not speak hopelessness, you speak hope and faith. Proverbs chapter 18 says, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Those who love it shall eat the fruits thereof. Sometimes you need to see me in my room or when I'm praying alone. I look like a madman. I lay my hands on my spirit, on my stomach. I say, Eric, you will fulfill destiny in Jesus' name. You will experience the promises of God. I just keep speaking scriptures to myself. Sometimes I'm discouraged. People might not know on the outside. On the inside, I am connecting with the word of God. I'm saying, Lord, thank you for strength. You said I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The word of God, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, the word of God is alive and powerful. The word of God is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces through the division of soul and spirit, joints and bone marrow. The word of God is alive and it is powerful. I pray we fall in love with the word daily. I tell you, there's no shortcut. There's no shortcut. These are realities. Numbers 23, verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill it? God does not deceive and he does not mislead. That's why he is a shepherd. He leads us based on truth. We should not evaluate God's reliability like a human's reliability. God's promises can come to pass in one of the two ways. There are even more ways. One, through his sovereignty as our Heavenly Father. You see, as long as you're a son and daughter of God, God does not need permission to work in your life. Why? Because he's your father. Yes, we need to be responsible, but God does not need my permission. If I have surrendered to his lordship, I call him Abba Father. It means he's responsible for me. As a father, I understand this more. I used to understand it more. My daughter, she doesn't have to tell me, Papa, change my diapers. My wife actually does it more. You know? As a father, I know what is good for my daughter. And I go about doing that which is good for her. As she grows up, there are times where she will come and, based on relationship, speak to me, Papa, I need this. And if I'm able to, I will do it. And be expectant for God's surprises. Do not allow yourself to be narrow-minded. Let me explain. Yesterday we were at a wedding, and I took a walk with our baby, and as I was walking on the sidewalk, I stopped, the trolley was in front of me, and then I took out my cell phone. Just when I took out my cell phone, I did not know there was a car, very narrow. A car just came out. I don't know if the driver would have seen the trolley on time or not. But at the right moment, I stopped and I took out the phone. That was God's intervention. As my father and as my daughter's father, the car might have hit the trolley. That's an example of God's sovereignty. That's why I say, God does not need, in your job situation, if God opens your eyes to see how he protects you daily, why? He is a good father. And I'll be rounding up with this thought. I do not know your history as a person. Maybe you grew up with just a mom or just a dad. Maybe you grew up with both parents, but they were not around. God wants you to know he is a good father. You might have questions about certain things in your life. why did this not happen? God, where were you? He wants to reaffirm to you again to say, you are my son, you are my daughter, I love you. You might have deficiencies in your life. God can supplement those deficiencies. You might not have experienced a father's love or a mother's love. God can supplement and bring that reality into your life. This is one thing I sense tonight. There are some people that God wants to reveal himself in their lives as a father. Maybe you need to forgive your father or your mother. Maybe it was tough for you with your parents. God wants you to know, I am your father. Your parents have limitations. That is why they are human. I am a father that is unlimited in power. Mary said to Angel Gabriel, when he told her, you are going to give birth. You are going to give birth to a son, and his name will be called Jesus. And she said, let this be done to me according to your word. Zechariah, God has heard your prayers and he's answered it. You're going to give birth to a son. Zechariah said, how can I be sure of this? How can I be sure of this? And the angel said, well, for you to be sure of this, I will make you not speak until the baby is born. He wanted to know how. He wanted to be sure. Yeah. It was not an evil treatment. It was good for him. Why? Because God, in that process, brought his heart to a point of being sure. Yes, Lord. I'll just pray. I'll stop here. Lord, thank you that you are a good father. You are not just a father, you are a good father. The Bible says in James chapter 1, I think verse 7 or 8, it says, every good and perfect gift comes from our Heavenly Father, in whom there is no variation nor shadow due to turning. Lord, you are consistent in who you are. You are faithful, you are good, and you are true. You indeed are not like man. You are not like me, Eric. Sometimes I promise, I lack the capacity to follow through. But you do not lack the capacity or the power to follow through. Luke chapter 1 verse 37 says, all things are possible with you. And no word from you will return to you empty or void. And Lord, thank you for this truth that we have heard. I pray, Holy Spirit, that we apply it daily to our lives. But Lord, like you revealed to us this evening, you are sovereign. I pray that your sovereignty continues to manifest in our lives. Lord, I pray for anyone here tonight who, oh God, you want to reveal yourself as a father. May that revelation, oh God, be real and true in Jesus' name. I want to also, in faith, oh Lord, thank you for the promises you've given each one of us. Those that have been prophesied upon us, those that you gave to us in the secret place. I pray, Holy Spirit, you watch over those promises and bring them to pass in Jesus' name. Lord, whatever might be hindering these promises in the spirit or even in the natural from coming to pass, may you, O God, take off these restrictions and limitations in Jesus' name. I thank you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, that your angels, the Bible says, O God, praise the angels of the Lord, who excel in strength, hearkening to the word of his command. May angels, O God, go ahead of us and cause these promises to come to pass in Jesus' name. I want to agree, O God, with the leadership of this church. I thank you, Lord, for the prophetic destiny concerning this congregation, this community. Lord, thank you for those that have manifested. Thank you for those that are in the process of manifesting. Lord, we want to declare that these promises will come to pass in Jesus' name. Thank you for Mannheim. Mannheim belongs to you. You have prophetic promises over Mannheim. You've given different churches in this city. You've even given your children in the secret place. Lord, we lift up these promises to you and say, Lord, watch over them and bring them to pass in Jesus' name. We speak against the spirit of unbelief over Mannheim. We command, O God, faith, O God, to be a blanket over Mannheim in Jesus' name. That as we walk through the cities of Mannheim, we walk under the atmosphere of belief and faith and trust in God. You want, O God, your very nature, O God, to impact and influence this city. And we want to say, Lord, we agree with your promises concerning our lives. We say yes to them in Jesus' name. Lord, I stand in the gap on behalf of anyone who might not even have the faith. I want to say, Lord, yes to your promises concerning their lives. Yes to your promises concerning, oh God, their family, their job situation, their health. I want to say yes, because the promises of God in Christ Jesus are yes. Lord, thank you. Receive all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.